good to see all of you this morning. We were wondering who was going to make it and who was not going to make it. So we have some folks out of town, and as he's already said, folks that are sick. And so be in much prayer for one another. God would restore those who are sick. And I was thinking this morning we ought to just do like fist bumps instead of shaking hands or anything like that. And just kind of save the hugs for another week. Just to protect ourselves a little bit. Pastor Rush is, he was really sick earlier in the week. And now Catherine's sick and the kids have been sick. And so he called earlier in the week and asked if I would be somewhat ready. And then later in the week saying he didn't think he would be able to control his cough. So this may teach you to pray for Pastor Rush a little better next time. So he'll be well. We will be in Psalms 42 this morning. I'm basically just going to go through the first five verses. Psalm 42, it says, "As a deer pants for the flowing stream, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. While they say to me all the day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in a procession in the house of God, to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God." Let me pray for us one more time. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word that you have given to us, and for the truth, for the strength, for the refuge it is to us, for the teaching that it provides for us, the comfort and the promises that we cling to. And so this morning, as we spend just a few moments in the word together, that your will would be accomplished here, that we would be strengthened, that we would be challenged, that you would touch the places within our hearts that need to be touched, and that you would encourage us, and that we would see, even in our struggles, as we see in David's life, that there is hope, and our hope is in God. And so we just pray that you would do a work here this morning, that we are desperate for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. This morning, before you actually jump into that, you may see in your Bibles it says something like, "To the choir master of Maskil of the sons of Korah." So I don't want to just kind of skip over that, because it tells us a little bit about something that's going on there. What do you know about the sons of Korah? I'm sure you thought about that this week. You know, it's like, oh yeah, sons of Korah. The Bible doesn't say a whole lot about the sons of Korah, but they say something about his dad. If you want, you can turn over. But this is a song that was given to the sons of Korah, that they would sing this psalm. And so in Numbers chapter 16, verse 32, it says, as soon as he had finished speaking, you got Korah basically with a group of people. There's a couple other tribes there, the Dathan and Abiram. They're coming against Moses and his leadership. They're rebelling. And they're coming against him. And so that has been going on. It picks up in verse 31. It says, "As soon as he had finished speaking all these words, the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, with their households and all the people who belonged to Korah and all their goods. So they and all that belonged to them went down alive in the Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. And all Israel who were around them fled." You imagine? "And their cry, for they said, 'Lest the earth swallow us up.' And fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men offering the incense." God had put a test out there and said, "I will show you who my man is." And Korah and them were coming against them. And he caused the earth to open up, swallow the specific people up, and take them down into Sheol and close the earth back up. And that is the sons of Korah's dad. If you continue on over there, you don't hear anything stated. It goes on as you read from there. Nothing else is mentioned about them. But then over in Numbers chapter 26, verse 10, pick up basically 10. It says, "And the earth," it's recounting the same story, "and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah. When that company died, when the fire devoured 250 men, they became a warning. But the sons of Korah did not die." So you've got something here where God opened up the earth and He swallows up these people, but He did not take the sons of Korah. And I don't know why. The Bible doesn't say. Matter of fact, if you don't read over 10 chapters later, you don't know that the sons did not go down with their dad. And yet here are some men who now are responsible for leading and singing the praises of God. You see the richness of God's mercy for whatever reason to not swallow those boys up. And later on, you see them now serving the Lord, and they are the ones who are leading in the sweet singing of the Psalms and of Psalm 42. And so there's a lot that's going on there and a lot that could probably be said. But those are the ones that it says here. David writes this and gives it to the choir master and said to the sons of Korah, sing. And so we go into and we're looking here at Psalms 42 and it says, as a deer pants for the flowing stream, so pants my soul for thee, O God, for you, O God. You're seeing here, here's a cry of a man who is in desperation. He is in depression. He is fighting against fears and trouble. He's a man that's probably on the run. Now you could say this is probably during a time when Absalom was after him, his own son, pursuing him to take his life. He's out in the wilderness. He's living in caves. And he is struggling. He is, his soul, his heart, he is a grieved, grieved man. And what is he longing for? What is David longing for? He's missing being with the people of God and going to the house of worship and meeting with God. That's what he's missing. That's what he's crying out for. There's something special God does with His people and as we gather. And David is crying out and he says, my soul, it thirsts, it pants, it's longing. By no means can I say that I experienced what David experienced. But in some small way, one of the things that hit me when we moved from Florida to here, before we ever started gathering on Sundays, we started visiting around the churches so that we could at least go and be with the people of God and worship on Sunday. I can remember it. It was just something that was unexpected. You kind of get in your mind when you're living in Florida and you're thinking about making this move and a year of preparation, you're trying to imagine what it's going to be like. And there's one thing that I just didn't. I knew I was leaving the church and I knew I was leaving the people that I had been with for some 32 years. And it was a strange thing to walk in some place. And even though we are still all a part of the family of God, those weren't the people that I was used to worshiping with. And I miss the people that I worship. And you left sometimes almost feeling a little empty, just a little disconnected. Because we're not looking to know these people. We're just here, and I'm longing to hear, and I'm longing to worship, and I'm longing to be with the people of God. I don't know these folks, and I won't get to know these folks because I'm on a different mission. And then we all started saying, well, let's all three families at least start going together. So in some small way, I get a little glimpse of what David is talking about, and it is in a minuscule way because I have no idea what he is going through. But he is longing to be back with the people of God, the people that he used to help lead and worship. He's talking here about us. An insatiable desire that is going on. As a deer pants after the water brooks. I'm a guy who likes to hunt. I like to deer hunt. I wouldn't claim myself to be the most successful guy, but I love to deer hunt. I love to be out in the woods. For me, that's a great time just to be still and to be with God. And it is quiet. And sometimes when nothing's moving, it is really quiet and really still. It's funny this morning to watch when the music stopped and everybody's kind of like, there's nothing going on. Come on, man. Somebody say something. We don't like silence, do we? We don't like to be still. We're very distracted people. But here in this, I've seen this. There is a time of year when the deers run. And there's a specific reason that the deer are running. And we'll get into all the details of that, but usually the bucks are chasing the does. They will forego eating. They will forego everything to chase the does. And you can see them sometimes when they've been running and running and running that they're coming through there and their tongue's hanging out. And they won't stop. And they're building this sensation and longing for water. You can see it's a good time to be around where water is. Or maybe you've seen a dog that's been running for a long time. Or a horse. You've seen a horse that's been running for a long time and get what they call lathered up. Went quail hunting one time. Really nice place. Well beyond my means. Somebody with means took me, paid for me. And we're riding around on the Jeep, you know, and the dogs are running. You're watching the dogs run. And you're just having this time of going through the field and the woods. And all of a sudden, the dogs get on point. And it's like, okay, stop the Jeep, get out. They won't move until the guy basically walks up and says, flush. But he waits until you're both ready and you're ready to shoot. And first off, those dogs get out of that box. And there'll be three teams of two. And they will run and run. And run and run, and their tongues hanging out, and they're running, and he calls them over at some point after about an hour, and he'll turn on this spigot on the back of the truck, and let water come out, and all run over, and then slap them up this water, and then all, there they go again, and then they're running. But they come there, and then that water just pouring out, and they're just gulping.
Have you ever been stranded and been without water? Have you ever had a time when you couldn't get to some water? Anybody? No? Pretty much always available. How long can you go without water? Huh? A couple days.
Things I looked at said about 3 days, depending on what's going on, what your situation is like. Russian, his sickness got really sick. I think he went about a day and started hallucinating. And he was telling me this past week, I started, hearing things that really weren't people, but they kept telling him, you need to be nauseous. You need to be nauseous. I said, dude,
you need some water.
He was dehydrated.
You can only go about 2 or 3 days without water.
But have you worked hard before, and just at least for a couple hours, and you just thought, God, I'm about to die of thirst?
Have you seen somebody coming that had been rescued? And you see it on TV, and they've been in this rubble, and they're dusty, and they come out, and their lips are parched. They haven't had anything to drink, and they're thirsty. They're even careful just to give a little bit along the way, not so that they won't get sick. I thought about another time when you see Christ on the cross, and he cries out, and he says, what? Thirst. He's been beaten beyond recognition. He's carried his own cross. He's been nailed to this cross, parched. I thirst. I want you to get the depths of what David is talking about here. And he's saying, my soul, not physically, but my soul, that which is within me, that God birthed in me and brought to life. I'm out here and I'm struggling and I'm depressed and I've got fears. I've got my own son pursuing me to kill me. And I long to be with people, and I long to see your face. So much so that he writes and says, oh, as a deer pants for the water brook, so my soul thirsts for you, O God. Do you thirst for God? Do you really thirst for God? David is debarred from public worship. His heart is sick. His soul within him aches, and he doesn't seek comfort. He's not
basically saying, God, take me back to where I was in the sense of my palace and where I ruled. Restore my honor to me. What's he crying out for?
What's he crying out for?
The communion with God and God's people. That's what David wants. Worship. Private worship wasn't enough. It strikes close to me because I don't think this day and age people understand the importance of the church, the necessity of the church. David gets it. And sometimes you just have to be stripped away from some things before God. Get your attention and you really thirst for God.
You have no need. We have everything. It's all good. Starts to go a little bit south, and what do I pray for? I don't pray for communion. I don't pray for worship. Take this away from me. Just fix this. Make life back more normal.
Isn't that kind of what we were saying this morning? And yet Rush even said, some of this drives us, this sickness, this struggle drives us to thirst for God. I think God brings those things into our life and the suffering. Why? Because He wants us to thirst for Him. He wants you to long for Him.
To seek His face. David's talking about his soul. And it's not just to God. He even states there, he goes, my soul thirsts for God, the living God. There is no other God. There are no other gods that are alive. They're dead. We serve a Christ who went on the cross and He was killed there. And He was buried. But then He rose again. We know there is an empty tomb. His God is alive. As Rush read in Hebrews, He's there. He makes intercession for us. He stands in our place. We've talked about this in ABF and the propitiation and the things that have happened and who we are and Christ in us. This is a living God. He rules. He reigns. He's sovereign. He controls all things. He is powerful. He is covenant keeping. It is promises. David is remembering the things. When shall I come and appear before God? In verse 2. And you see, he's talking about that he longs to be in where God is and this, that their worship, that they would come together and be before God. When shall I come and appear before God? It's amazing to me. People say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord and never go to church. Really? And you have no desire to be around God's people. I don't know. My Bible says differently.
You have those. There's things that are being said. Well, the church is this, or it's whether just you get a group of people together. Well, that's church. And
no, there is a structure. There is an organism.
There is a living, breathing. We are knitted and joined together in sinews and tendons and joints and hands and fingers. You cannot be apart from the church and the church be healthy and functioning. Everybody has a place. If He saved you, He's gifted you, and you need to be in a church, and we serve one another, and we go out, and we come in, and we go out, and we come in, and we minister to one another, we care for one another, in sickness and death. There's a lot going on in this small little fellowship right now. A lot. And we need one another. You need encouragement.
Don't need the church? Are you kidding me? It's what Christ died for. It's His bride. And He's ordained the structure of it. It is absolutely essential that you are involved in a church. Even with all of its warts, with all of its problems. We know, we've been saying, have we not, 2 weeks ago, this is all broken. It's not going to be perfect. And if you don't see that in what we're living in, we're broken. We're sick.
Spurgeon put it this way. When shall I come and appear before God? He who loves the Lord loves also the assemblies wherein His name is adored. Vain are all His pretenses to religion, where the outward means of grace have no attraction. David was never so much at home as in the house of the Lord. He was not content with private worship. He did not forsake the place where saints assemble, as the manner of some is. See how pathetically he questions us to the prospect of his again uniting in the joyous gathering. How he repeats and reiterates his desire over and over. After his God, his Elohim, his God to be worshipped, who had entered into a covenant with him, he pined even as the drooping flowers of the dew. It were well if all our resortings to public worship was viewed as appearances before God. It would then be a sure mark of grace to delight in them. Alas, how many appear before the minister or the fellow men and think that that is enough? To see the face of God is the nearer translation of the Hebrew. But the two ideas may be combined. He would see his God and be seen of him. This is worthy of thirsting after. Our gatherings, as we come here, I would long for that to be taking place here. I pray that that's what takes place here. That you come longing to meet with God. To see Christ in all of His glory. That He is always lifted up. We try to
cautiously pick the songs that we sing and the word that's being preached and everything work in orchestration together for the same purpose, so that God would be made much of and that He would be lifted up, that Christ is honored and glorified, and that you would think, God's going to see me this morning. He's going to look at me and we will catch His gaze with one another. Is that the way you came today? Do you do any preparation for worship? Even on the physical, we were trained as a young couple just having babies by an older couple who poured into us treasures that we are grateful for to this day and pray that our kids would have the same. But even into the little things of, especially if you have girls, not to pick on girls, you just care a little bit more about what they wear. That we would lay your clothes out Saturday night. And there is no discussion on Sunday morning. This is what you come and wear. Because it's amazing how they will change their mind from the time they went to bed to the time they get up. And it's an issue. And now we got issues and we're trying to be happy. And everybody be in one accord. And we're going to arrive at church without hollering and screaming at one another. Why? Keep this simple and clean up. It's preparation. It's just me. I don't like to be late. Probably pride, because I don't like to walk in and think somebody's going to be looking at me and feel that I'm walking in late. But I do like to be early. So it worked well for me when challenge was going to come early. So I don't come in rushed. We would get there and we would sit and try again, prepare. The drive to church is preparation. The music that we listen to on Sunday morning is preparation. So what? Because we're going to meet God. It's just not another thing on my busy list of schedule of things to do. I'm going to be with God's people. The way that I come into worship impacts everybody in this room. The way that you come into worship and the way that your heart is towards God impacts everybody in this room. It affects the way that God meets with us. And is your heart set so that I'm coming and I'm going to meet with God? And I'm going to see Him in some way. And He's going to gaze on me. And hopefully He's going to speak to me and He's going to lovingly and graciously and say, change this. Or be encouraged by this. My child. How do you come into worship? Oh, that our gatherings would be this way. You see in verse 3, He talks about, He says, my tears have been my food day and night. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? Have you ever seen a man that's cried all day and all night? Personally, ever been to the point where you cry day and night? To the point that I'm really not even going to eat. But you were so broken. And I thought about that and I'm thinking, man, I have lived a blessed life. I've never experienced anything like this. I don't have a child that's pursuing me, trying to kill me. I've been driven out into the wilderness without the comforts that I have.
But yet we do struggle, do we not? You do get fearful, do you not? You ever been fired?
Something happened in your life where you struggle and you're downcast?
And
now, this ought to be a great encouragement to us. And go, look at this man and the struggles that he's going through. And yes, he is a man of God, and yet he is struggling. And there's fear that comes to us. Why is David so broken? What's he really broken over? There's a man at one point in Scripture that talks about where Shimei had come against David and told him, you're a bloody man. God's doing this because you're a bloody man. He's punishing you. And he's reviling him. And he says, and what are they doing? They're coming against you. Imagine, this is what you're getting in this kind of struggle, and they're coming against you. Where's your God at, man? You've been saying all of this, and your testimony is, where's your God? What's He doing for you now? Where is He, big boy? How's He helping you? Want some encouragement? Is that what you get when you come in here? Really, you have difficulty sucking it up? You know? It's not what we get. That's what He's getting. On top of everything else, He's getting beat down and beat down and beat down. He's broken. He's hurting. His soul is in such anguish and longing. He said, oh, God. I pour my soul out to you. He said, these things I remember. Verse 4.
These things I remember.
Let me tell you, you are building a faith today that is not so much for today as much as it is for tomorrow. Hear me. Especially you young people. Your growth and your walk and your desire for God and the convictions that you are developing and the Word that you are pouring into you will be for tomorrow. They're really not so much for today. Because God's going to take you to some difficult places. I'm not so sure that some generation very soon is going to be faced with great persecution and maybe even die for the cause of Christ. It happens in other places all over the world, and why not here? And this country is changing.
How are you doing? How are you building your faith? Because it will stand for tomorrow. The things that I face is because of what? What is David doing? Oh, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. Oh, my soul. As I poured out to God. Oh, but then I remember. I remember.
And you remember God's faithfulness.
You remember the worship that you had with His people. God has not changed. My circumstances may have changed, but God has not changed.
God is in the very dead center of what's going on right here. He is not gone. He is orchestrating every single bit of it. David is broken because they have impugned the faithfulness of his God. And he knows God is faithful. He remembers. These things I remember. When we get downcast, and we do we not? Do I get a witness?
Do I not struggle? Yes, I struggle. Do I not get fearful? Yes, I get fearful. Do I not long for things that I used to have that I do not have? Because it's difficult to serve? Do I enjoy getting up and going to work every day? Yes, bless God, I do. We struggle. We struggle.
Oh, but there has to be. There has to be. You can't dwell there. You have to go back to.
Oh, but I remember.
God, there's a great transition here. And he talks about these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in a procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. That's what he remembers, and he's encouraged. I will return there one day. I'm going to ask God.
That's what he remembers. His worship with the people of God. Does that mean something to you? It should.
Psalms 24. Turn over there real quickly.
But God gave you that, sir. And when we talk about preparation and coming in for worship, this is something that used to be sung by the people. And what David is talking about is they went to the house of God. They would gather as a group of people. I would love to do this. I always thought this would be so neat to do. But they would gather outside a ways from the temple and where they were heading and where their worship was going to take place, and the whole people would gather. That means everybody had to be here, be on time. Or you'd miss the throng. The throng means a lot of people. But it means everybody, because we're all in this together.
In Psalms 24,
heard this preached by a little Englishman one time with my mouth hanging open when he finished. And he talked with an accent and he rolled his R's. And it's never left me. One of the greatest messages I ever heard. And I thought, this is what they would gather together. And as they moved and made their way to the temple, and as they prepared one another for worship.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There would be this conversation going on, and a leader such as David saying parts, and then the congregation saying other parts. The fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Remember who we are going to go worship. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? The congregation says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of God, Jacob, Selah. Stop. Think about that. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be ye lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? congregation. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ye ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory?
The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory as they make their way to worship together. These are the things David is reminded of.
Do you come to worship? Do you come to see God? Do you come hoping and in the taste to see God today? He's here. He's promised. He's here. His Spirit's here. He is with us. You see, He knows the thoughts that you're having right now. He knows the struggles that you've had in the week.
You come knowing God's going to look at you. That we're going to worship God. There's this great transition going on in David and all of his struggles is remembering and he's reminding himself. And it's a thing we need to do so that we don't dwell and get down into this hole and the depression keeps coming in. We have to stop. You have to stop. You have to learn to capture your thoughts. The Scriptures tell us that. Why is that so hard to do? You can only go 3 days without water. How long can you go without God? And you don't think your soul's going to get sick? Do you hunger? Do you thirst for God? Or do I get overwhelmed? And I don't control those thoughts. Let me encourage you. Learn. Walk. Battle. David's struggling. I remember. Preach the gospel to yourself. Preach the Scriptures to yourself. Remember, God's right in the middle of all of it. Then he asked, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Are you kidding? Hope in God. We're playing that song this morning before. I know none of you probably heard it, but it got played twice. Hope in God, O my soul. He is our refuge. He is our hiding place. Hope in God, O my soul. Mighty fortress is our God. You have to start singing those things. You have to remind yourself and remember. Why would I be cast down? This is nothing. And yet it is something, isn't it? There's that struggle. And it's hard. And it's difficult. And we hurt. And we ache. And we get fearful. And then we come back. And you've got to come back and you say, no. God's going to walk me through this by His strength and by His power. His main hope, he says, I will praise God again. Hope in God. David rests in thinking of the smile of God being cast towards him, being with his people, worshiping God, being uplifted. That will put to scorn the jeers and the mocking and the laughing of the enemies. And you think of Christ on the cross and all that He's going through. And on top of it, what's going on? What's being said? I don't even think we experience most of that stuff. We, even in our struggles, we get a little more encouragement from those who are around, especially if you're around the body of Christ. I don't know that many of you experience that. Have you experienced it? Anybody come down on you while you're struggling? Even the world will try to be kind in their own way. Or do they come against you? That's what's going on. Imagine Christ on the cross and all that He's going through and taking the full wrath of God. And they're going, come on. You're the King of the Jews. Come down. Just jeering constantly. Just beating Him down. He cries out. What does He say? My God. My God. Why have you forsaken me? That's a hard thing to imagine. God forsaken of God. I don't think we experience too much of this. So this should be great encouragement to us when we do struggle and you get fearful. Run to these things. Remind yourself of these things. And David comes out the other side. Oh, so more in love with God. Knowing God. Hungering and thirsting for God. May it encourage you. Think of Paul and Silas when they were in prison. They're singing. Sing. Do you ever sing by yourself? That's about the only time I sing. Nobody wants to hear me sing. When you're in the car, sing. Uplift your soul. Sing the praises of God. Sing these songs. It'll help you. Remember. Hope in God.
O my soul, mighty fortress is our God. Sing it. Sing praises.
God will use those things. Uplift your soul and put your confidence back in where it needs to be. And you can live through these things. Paul and Silas sang, and the prison walls shaked and the chains fell off. I'd have been there complaining. Did it really? This is what gets me? Preaching the gospel? Going after people? Really? You put me in jail? Not these guys, man. They had learned. Probably knew their scriptures. They were singing. God's doing the work even in the jail. What is he doing? He's getting the jailer saved. And his household. God's in the middle of absolutely every bit of it. Hope in God. Praise Him. My salvation, he says. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise Him. My salvation and my God. Sons of Korah, strike up the band. We're going to sing Psalm 42. Do you thirst for God? Do you sit here today and maybe you don't even know God? Do you not even have a taste for God?
If you have any taste whatsoever to come to Christ, come.
I'll be in the back. Mike is here. Grab somebody. I got to know more about this. I want to know this Christ. I want to know this God. Don't leave here not saved today. You have any taste whatsoever, you even think that's what I want, come, ask, seek. We will tell you more.